What makes a great beach? Is it the sand? Is it the water? Is it the quality of the boardwalk? Is it the isolation from everybody else? Everybody has their own opinions. Call us with yours. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Stephen Leatherman, also known as Dr. Beach, publishes an annual list of the best and sometimes the worst beaches in America. In real life, he's director of the Laboratory for Coastal Research and the International Hurricane Research Center at Florida International University. His annual Top 10 Beaches list appears in the June 6th issue of Parade magazine, and he joins us now from the studios of WLRN in Miami, Florida, and welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What in your definition makes a great beach?
Well, I use 50 criteria to rate every beach. It comes down to physical factors like sand color, sand size, whether dangerous currents or not, how big the waves are, biological factors such as seaweed is a negative. Obviously, jellyfish is a negative, but people like clean, clear water, obviously very positive. And then human use and impacts, off-road vehicles, people driving on the beach is a negative. In our survey, certainly people in Daytona love it, but that's got to take off points for that. I don't rate individual hotels and restaurants. We leave that to the experts. But people want some amenities, but we don't want these hotels and restaurants crowding out nature. So we have some nature there. We want to see some amenities, but not overshadowing the beach and the coastal environment. So altogether, 50 factors go into rating each and every beach.
Now, you have rated, what, something well over 600 beaches.
That's right. I've rated all 650 major public recreational beaches in the country. I've been to all of them at least once and some many, many times. There are a lot of other smaller beaches, and I've seen a lot of those too, but all those have been rated and with the 50 criteria.
Well, describe a few of this year's top 10 beaches for us.
Okay, well, of course, Florida and Hawaii do dominate the survey in the top 10 beach list, and the reason for it is this is for swimming beaches. And if you want to go swimming, you've got to have that beach-type weather, warm weather. You've got to have warm water, which means beaches in Maine are not going to do very well. And, of course, California has some problems with that, too, with their chilly water.
Mm-hmm.
But also clean and clear. And clean, there are a lot of clean beaches, certainly in Georgia, in South Carolina, wonderful beaches. But clear water, people tend to like that, and so that really helps in small ways, generally speaking, very safe beaches. That helps certainly Florida and Hawaii in the surveys, but there are other areas which also have some top 10 beaches. East Hampton, New York, and in the Hamptons in general, the East End, certainly the Outer Banks, even though they took a pounding from Hurricane Isabel, many of the beaches did very well, such as Ocracoke Island. If you remember that island, it's a real getaway island. One time was stomping grounds for Blackbeard. And even we have a beach up in Massachusetts on Cape Cod now. It's a little chilly there, I must admit. I lived on the Cape many years, and the water doesn't get much beyond about 68 degrees, but it's such a spectacular area. And people do go swimming in the summer when it gets up to 9 degrees.
Now, in 2002, you named Port St. Joseph Memorial State Park in Florida's Panhandle to be America's finest beach. That's the sand along that particular stretch of the coast is extraordinary.
It absolutely is. This is the panhandle of Florida and actually runs into part of Alabama. This is the finest, whitest sand in the world. It's pure quartz crystal, and it's just remarkable. I remember the first time I ever saw it as a child, I just couldn't believe it. And almost, you have to wear sunglasses. It's so bright. It's like sugar.
Now, I understand that once a particular beach has been named as number one on your top 10 list, it's no longer eligible. It's retired from the competition.
Well, that is right. And the reason for it is it gives other beaches a chance to be in the competition. It's not to say these national winners of quality doesn't change a little bit, but these are such superb beaches. It would take a drastic event, really, to change them. Now, one of the beaches that made a winner, was national winner, was Poipu Beach on the Isle of Kauai, Hawaii. And it was actually very close to the top years ago, but in 1992, Hurricane Iniki, which was a Category 4 hurricane, hit this area and really took a lot of the sand away and damaged infrastructure. So it took about 5 years for it to recover, but indeed it was a national winner about 3 years ago. So things do happen on beaches, but these national winners are superb beaches by every measure. And so by retiring them, it gives other beaches a chance to be in the limelight and get a little bit of praise for the great beaches they have.
Well, let's get some listeners involved in the discussion. And joining us now is Sarah, who's calling from Nantucket, Massachusetts.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I just want to say that I love the beaches on Nantucket, and we are an island surrounded by beach. There isn't really much of a rocky coast. And so even in the heat of summer when there's a lot of tourism here, you can always find your little nook where there's almost no one else, which is very special.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I certainly agree with her. Nantucket is where, of course, Peter Benchley came from, and his family's there. And I had the pleasure of doing some work there on that southeast coast. I'm trying to remember the name of it exactly, what they call it. But certainly superb beaches on a small island. About 55% of it's in conservation land. So it's incredible, really, how much of it's. So it's really a natural experience to go to Nantucket. The old whaling village in Nantucket itself with the cobblestone streets, quite an idyllic place to visit.
You say that, and Sarah, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You say that, Stephen Leatherman, but again, Massachusetts doesn't seem to have a chance of winning in the top poll.
Well, as I say, we have a beach in the top 10 this year from Massachusetts, but again, the water's pretty chilly there. You have to be pretty dedicated to going in the water, and I think even our caller would tell you that. But if you want to find your own sort of private beach and get away from it all, certainly Nantucket has it, and there's not large crowds there, particularly on the outer beaches. So I guess it all depends on what you're looking for. But for swimming beaches, in the top 10 list, remember, it's for swimming beaches. So, again, the water's a bit nippy there, and so it has to take a pretty special beach from Massachusetts to be on the top 10 list. But we have one this year, thank goodness.
Okay. Here's an email we got from Annette. Wildwood Crest, New Jersey. Gorgeous, large, lifeguards, very, very safe. Two generations of our family visit yearly.
Yes, well, New Jersey has some great beaches. My favorite is actually Long Beach Island, which is in the middle of the state. I've been there many times. There's a number of communities there, which really, to me, represents the Jersey Shore and its finest thing in the shore restaurants. There you have in Long Beach Island sort of the very, surprisingly, very white and fine sand. Also, the water is the clearest I've seen in the New Jersey coast because you're far away from the farthest way as you can get from the Hudson River and from the Delaware Bay where more mucky water comes out. So, and also where she mentions also a very good beach as well. So surprisingly, to some people who haven't been to New Jersey, those are great beaches too, particularly in the central area. But all really, New Jersey has 129 miles of really nice ocean beaches.
A few years ago, there were some problems with medical waste washing ashore. that been resolved?
Yes, it has. That was really an unfortunate issue back in the late 1980s, and it really, I think, brought to front a lot of the problems that we have on beaches of things washing ashore. And that's still occurring, by the way. We still get a lot of plastics and other things that are washing ashore, and also what people leave behind when they go there. And that's one of the things we're trying to do through the National Healthy Beaches Campaign, which is another program, by the way, we just recently started, to recognize all those good quality beaches that are trying to maintain their environmental qualities. And there's a lot of things that people can do in addition to picking up your trash and teaching your children to respect the environment, to working with industry. And, in fact, the American Plastics Institute is trying to get more involved in trying to deal with this plastics problem, which that's the number one litter we find on beaches today. Mm-hmm. But the medical waste problem has really been dealt with, I think, very successfully. Now you have to sign it in and out when you get it, and no more of those loose rules that pervaded back in the 80s.
We're speaking with Stephen Leatherman, a.k.a. Dr. Beach, about the best beaches in America. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News. And Stephen Leatherman, I know another thing you do is sometimes try to point out some of the worst beaches in America, you know, just simply provide information about where not to go.
Well, certainly things can happen to beaches through time. Some areas and some of the harbors, like in Boston Harbor, obviously some of the beaches there are compromised a bit. And we also have erosion hotspots, I mean, areas which are eroding quite rapidly. And of course, one of those is North Rodanthe, North Carolina, which got pretty hard during Hurricane Isabel. But fortunately, our country, by and large, is blessed with some really wonderful beaches. I mean, I've been to Europe and seen some beaches which are so polluted you wouldn't want to put your toe into them. We don't tend to have that here in the United States, thank goodness. And in the areas I mentioned too, Boston Harbor is being cleaned up as we speak today. They're spending billions of dollars to develop better treatment plants. And so I'm in hopes that those areas will indeed, their quality is only going to improve through time. But we still have problems. And certainly there was recently the report the U.S. Oceans Commission came out and said, look at what's going on in our country. We have pollution problems, beach erosion, and a lot of overdevelopment. So we have things to do, but the good news is we're trying to address those issues, and I think that we're going to hear more about that in the coming months.
OK. Okay. Let's get another caller. Jenny's with us from Traverse City, Michigan.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky people that gets to live in northern Michigan, and I just feel that Michigan has some of the greatest beaches in the whole United States, and especially northern Michigan, and it's also a bargain vacation. I know growing up, my favorite vacations were heading to a cabin in northern Michigan with my family and going to the beaches, especially on the Lake Michigan side and the wonderful Sleeping Bear Dunes and all the dunes from the lower peninsula and even in the upper peninsula, and just enjoying the fresh water.
I was just going to ask Stephen Leatherman, does a great beach need to have salt water?
Well, the way I had set it up originally, they did. But in fact, I went up and made a tour of the Great Lakes because I get a lot of emails and other people calling me about the Great Lakes. They said, oh, there's 6,000 miles of shoreline here, and you don't seem to know we have a bench. So I've been up there doing my ratings. And in fact, if you look at some of the recent articles and some of the travel magazines, I've really highlighted some of those areas. And I totally agree with the caller that the sand dunes there at Pitchard Rocks National Park are a couple hundred feet high. As she mentioned, Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, fantastic sand dunes. I went swimming there in August. It was warm enough to go swimming remarkably. Water is very clear. In fact, it actually reminded me a little bit of the Caribbean, some of the green colors. I was so pretty. And so, yes, those are great places to go to for vacation, particularly if you don't like the humidity. If you want to get away from all that and you like fresh water, superb areas. So, indeed, I'm working to try to factor in the Great Lakes. I must say I had a little bit of a prejudice, I guess, early on since I grew up in Carolina and worked mostly on the saltwater coast. But the Great Lakes certainly are a treasure.
And some great cherries there in the summertime, Jenny.
That's right. Right in Traverse City, the week of July 4th, actually, the National Cherry Festival.
Okay, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks.
You have some suggestions, I know, for different kinds of beaches that different kinds of people might like. The best beach for nightlife, you say, South Beach in Miami, Florida.
I think it has to be South Beach. I mean, this is a place where you have all the nightclubs and you have all the other activities here. I'm always amazed. Usually I come down here and at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning when I'm doing the morning shows about beaches, and people are just coming out of the nightclubs. I mean, we're on totally different time frames. I think people are living different lives than I am, I guess. But the action never stops at Miami Beach. It's during the daytime. It's quite a lot of action on the beach. And at nighttime, even more so with the Latin beat here. So it's got to be South Beach, number one, in terms of nightlife in the country.
Best beach for walking.
Well, you know, I think that Kiawa Island, South Carolina, would really fit in that category very well. It's a very scenic, wild beach, very fine sand, very flat, very easy to walk on, and yet you can see a lot of shorebirds and a very clean, wonderful environment.
And the best people-watching beach?
Well, there I think we have to go to Venice Beach, California. Nothing compares with that. I mean, I'm usually on the sand, but the real action there is on what they call the boardwalk, which is really more of a concrete freeway. And of course, here's where we have the Muscle Beach. We have, it's just a parade of humanity going through, and never boring. I must say that. It's really something to see.
Best overall beach?
I'd give that to Kapalua Bay in Maui, Hawaii. And that's a special little beach, a little crescent sand beach. And here you got the Ritz-Carlton, but it's up on the hill, far away from the beach. You've got amenities nearby, but again, not crowding out what nature has made. You can swim in this clear waters, which are protected, by the way, from any big waves or dangerous currents, but you swim out a little bit and suddenly you're in the coral reefs and surrounded by tropical fish. It is incredible.
And finally, this email from Peter Lask in Oxford, Ohio. I think the best beach I ever saw was Great Sand Dunes National Monument in south central Colorado. Soft sand dunes, almost 1,000 feet tall, surrounded by the high Rockies. Of course, the curious thing is the closest sizable body of water is hundreds of miles away. Stephen Leatherman, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure to be with you.
Stephen Leatherman is director of the Laboratory for Coastal Research and International Hurricane Research Center at Florida International University. And his list of this year's 10 best beaches appears in the June 6th issue of Parade magazine. He joined us from the studios of member station WLRN in Miami. Ira's here tomorrow with Science Friday. Have a great holiday weekend. We'll be here Monday for you. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.